That's really what our time this morning is going to be about, together in God's Word. Each, as part of Christian worship, one of the things we're commanded to do in the Bible is to preach the Word. Paul gives that command to Timothy, who was a young pastor, in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. And God wants His Word to get into us, to get into our minds and our hearts, and that's one of the reasons we had these scripture readings this morning, and we sang these songs that reflect on biblical truth. And now we have a time to open up our Bibles together and to read out of them and to think together for a few minutes this morning about what does it mean and how does it apply to our lives. So that's what we're going to do for the next few minutes or so together. I would invite you, if you have your Bibles, to go ahead and open to the book of 2 Corinthians. And we're going to be at the end of chapter 5 today. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible with you, which I would encourage you to do in the future, go ahead and bring a Bible with you, because it's good to look at our own Bibles and see where these verses are on the page. It helps you later on when you want to go back and look and find something. But if you didn't bring one today, that's all right. There are some sitting on the rows of chairs here, there, throughout the sanctuary, so the worship center. So if you didn't bring one and you want to pick one of those up, feel free to do that as well. 2 Corinthians will be in chapter 5. Don't feel bad if you got to use your table of contents. Sometimes those books are a little tricky. All right? Message this morning, the glorious exchange. We're going to talk about, in fact, I gave a little bit of a subtitle, but I couldn't fit it on the slide, so you'll have to bear with me on that. I called it a behind-the-scenes look at redemption accomplished. The glorious exchange. And we see it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. So let's look there together. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You may remember that verse from the video we watched a little while ago. Let's pray and ask God to give us light and understanding on this passage of Scripture. Father, it's our joy and privilege to be together this morning as we have gotten to sing your praises. I thank you for Shane and the band leading us this morning, even though they were down a bass player, Will, in Singapore. We pray for him that you'd give him a safe trip back to us soon. For Zoe and the kids that are here while he's away, we lift them up to you. God, for everyone that's gathered here today, whether they've been members here for a long time or relatively new members, or maybe some are just guests with us today as well, we pray that your Spirit would be present in this room and in our minds and in our hearts today, so that we could even sense your presence as we talk and think and apply your word together this morning. So God, bless me as I preach your word. Help me to be faithful to it. We pray that the truth of this glorious exchange of Jesus taking our sin and giving us his righteousness would be so clear that you would help us to see and understand the gospel, maybe some of us for the first time, or maybe some of us in a deeper way or a different way than we ever have before. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The great exchange. I want us to spend most of our time this morning in verse 21. That's where we see the majority of Paul's teaching about this great exchange that happens. But I don't want us to just start there, because it's easy to just start in one verse and we miss a little bit of the context. And there's so much good stuff here in the book of 2 Corinthians. That's where we were last week, and a little bit farther ahead, a couple more chapters ahead, now we find ourselves this morning. So, beginning in verse 17, There are three different truths that I want you to see out of our passage this morning. And in fact, the outline is going to be coming up here, and you can see them as we talk about them. The glorious exchange is the title there, and our outline is coming. There it goes. Three truths that I want you to see about the gospel message, and that's how we're going to set up our outline today. So the gospel message says, our first point is from verse 17. It says, we can be made brand new in Christ. So look down at verse 17. Let's read that verse again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. This is a really cool verse in a lot of ways. In fact, the way that it's originally written, the New Testament was written in the Greek language, so we have to read translations about that. And sometimes in English, they have to add a couple extra words to help us to understand what's going on here. I think all English translations add some words to this verse. If we were going to give a literal rendering of this verse, it would say, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation. It kind of leaves some thought out of there. But the point is that some of your translations say, he is a new creation, or some will say, a new creation has come, or a new creature has come. They're just adding some thoughts so that you can make sure you understand what Paul is saying there. But I really like the way that Paul actually says it. If anyone is in Christ, a new creation. It's kind of like an exclamation point there, that there is something brand new that's going on here. And in fact, he probably means something a little bit bigger than just the idea that you personally are a new creation if you are in Christ. There is a whole new creation that's coming according to the whole Bible really teaches us about a new creation, a new heavens and a new earth, specifically talked about toward the end of the book of Revelation in chapters 21 and 22. A new heavens and a new earth that's going to be remade and perfect one day, just like the Garden of Eden was when God originally created. It's going to be free from sin and death and decay and guilt and all of these things that pollute our world and make it a place that's a difficult, hard place to live sometimes. There's going to be a new creation there, and there is a new creation that's coming that is promised and is secured by the death and resurrection of Jesus. And when we are in Christ, if anyone is in Christ this morning, a new creation, you can become a part, you can take part in this new creation, this new work that God is accomplishing in human history. You become a new creation, yes, but you also become a part of God's grand scheme of redemption and reconciliation. So if anyone is in Christ, you hear that first word there, if anyone is in Christ. That means that there are some people who are not in Christ, who are not a new creation, that this doesn't apply to. And that's one of the things that I really want you to realize about our passage this morning, is that it teaches that there are two different groups of people, those that are in Christ and those who are not in Christ. But if anyone is in Christ, a new creation. So what this passage is telling us is that we can be made brand new in Christ. The old can be taken away. The new can be here. That's great news for some people. Some people, you may look back at your lives and you may say, I wonder how I could really have a relationship with God. I wonder how God could really look at me and not be angry. I wonder how I could think about my life and the things that I've done and not feel and be overwhelmed with guilt. Because I know myself, I know my past. But there's good news this morning that in Christ you are a new creation. The old is gone. God doesn't see that anymore. In Christ you can be made brand new. Many of you have already. Many of you are in Christ. Many of you have been reconciled. Many of you have gone through this great exchange that we're going to talk about in a couple minutes. But if you haven't this morning, maybe today could be the day for you to be included in Christ, to be united with Christ, to become this new creation that Paul has talked about. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The next three verses bring us to our next point. Here's what our next point says. If I was going to summarize it, here's what I'd say. Hey, you, be reconciled. Now, he says it a little bit longer than that, and maybe a little more, a little better than I do. But let's read these verses together and see. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. So that's what God was doing. That's what he was about. He wanted to reconcile the world to himself in Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, was raised again. All of that was for the purpose of reconciling the world to himself, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and not counting men's sins against them. So he gives a big clue there about what this great exchange is going to be about, not counting men's sins against them, about having our sins forgiven and not being counted anymore against us. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So there's kind of two levels of what Paul is saying here. Number one is the basic truth about what God was doing in Jesus. He was reconciling the world. He was making things right. He was bringing things together which once were separated and once could not come together. You know what it means to be reconciled, right? Two people that are at odds, they are against each other, they are now brought together and they are reconciled. And God and the world needed to be reconciled because of sin. That's what Adam did when he disobeyed God first in the garden. There was a break in that relationship. There was sin and separation. And God was doing the work in Jesus to bring those back together, of reconciling us and reconciling all of creation back to himself. But it doesn't just stop there, because many of you have been reconciled to God. Many of you are in Christ, like we've talked about, because what he has done in addition to that is not only has he done the work of reconciliation, but he's also given us the job, the task of letting other people know about it. He says, okay, you've been reconciled. Now I'm going to make you my ambassador so that you can go to all the world and tell them that they also can be reconciled to me. He even uses the word ambassador there. Did you see that down there? In verse 19, I believe. No, verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You know what an ambassador is, right? You have like ambassador to the United Nations, that kind of thing. It's a person, it's a diplomat who goes to another country or the United Nations or whatever, wherever they're going to. They're sent with a message. They're sent and they speak on behalf of the government of the United States. That's what our ambassadors would do. They are given the authority. They are given the power to give official statements to other countries about what we do, about what our position is, about what our opinion is on this different issue. That's what an ambassador does. He speaks officially for a greater power. And if we're in Christ this morning, God has given us this job and this role of being an ambassador to the rest of the world for him and for his gospel. He has dubbed us officially. You take my message with authority that I am giving you to tell the world how to be reconciled. And this is the message that Paul wants to get across. You see it right there at the very end of verse 20. We implore you on Christ's behalf. We implore you, be reconciled to God. And that's exactly what my point is for this second set of verses. Hey, you, be reconciled. Paul says it a little bit different than I do, but it's the same thing. I want everyone in this room to know that you need to be reconciled to God if you haven't already, if you haven't been included in Christ. You need to come to know him. You need to be brought together in relationship with God. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And if you have, then take this message with you. God has made you his ambassador. You know how to come to know Christ as Savior and Lord because you've done it. So now you can tell other people about it as God's ambassador to them. And then Paul gets to what is probably the greatest truth in this passage. And the way that he's building this passage, I think, is that he gives us one truth that's up here. It's kind of like the top of the pyramid. And then we go down another level, which is the next level, which we implore you to be reconciled. That's the next level of the pyramid. And then down at the bottom is the largest and the greatest and the foundation of all these other truths that we've been talking about today, is that we can be included in Christ and we can be reconciled to God because of what Christ has done that Paul tells us about in verse 21. Next point, Jesus did this amazing work for us. That is the foundational truth that Paul wants us to see in this passage today, that Christ did this work. Let's read the verse and talk about it a little bit. God made him who had no sin, or some of your translations will say who knew no sin. Means the same thing. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul is giving us a behind the curtains look, a behind the scenes look at what was happening when Jesus died on the cross. The great exchange is what I want to call it this morning. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Got a little illustration I want to give to you this morning. TJ has graciously volunteered to come up and be my assistant. I joked with him this morning before he knew what it was that I was going to saw him in half, but it's not going to be anything like this. You may have noticed these two boxes up here, and these boxes, I hate to burst your bubble, but there's not actually $100 in either one of these boxes. This is mainly for illustration purposes, but yeah, there's yours and here's mine. So we both have a box and just pretend that what's on the sign is in the box. So I've got $100 in $20 bills and TJ has $100 in $10 bills. Now, some of you may like $10 bills better. Some of you may like $20 better, but you probably don't have a whole lot of preference as long as the money's in your wallet, right? Not a big deal. Hey, TJ, would you trade me boxes? Would you trade me your $100 and $10 bills for the $100 and $20 bills? All right. You're okay with doing that. I think most of y'all would be all right with doing that, right? So we exchanged because it was something that was basically relatively equal and even. This was an even trade, right? So, well, let's see if we had something else in our boxes. Let's see. Now I've got an iPhone 4. And what do you have, TJ? iPhone 5. Okay. Now, I know some of you may not be tech geeks like me, and you may have no idea what an iPhone 4 or 5 is, but I figured by the number, you could figure that the 5 was newer and better than the 4. So iPhone 5 is the latest, most recent iPhone that has come out, probably one coming out not too much longer from now again. But the iPhone 4 came out a couple years ago. So I've got an iPhone 4, and TJ has an iPhone 5. I wonder if he would trade with me. TJ, would you trade your iPhone? No, you wouldn't. I understand. I probably wouldn't if I were you. But just for the purposes of our illustration today, would you be really, really kind and nice and trade and give me the iPhone 4, and you can have the iPhone, whatever. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, TJ. Ah, yes, I've got an iPhone 5 now. All right. So that was a little bit different because he had something better than me, but he was really nice and traded that anyway. Let's see about something else. I've got a puppy. Everybody say together, aw. Yeah, I know all the women are very happy. My wife tells me that women like anything that's little or fuzzy or a baby. Yeah, so little, furry, and a baby. All three things combined. A puppy, and TJ has a skunk. All right? So now it's not just that one is more valuable than the other, though they're both nice things. One is something that you really wouldn't even want, right? But, I mean, who doesn't want a puppy? I mean, forget about the fact they'll probably chew your furniture and all that kind of stuff that puppies do. Just think of him being cute and cuddly for our purposes this morning. So I've got a puppy, and TJ has a skunk. I don't think TJ wants to keep your, you don't want to keep your skunk, do you? Do you think I would be nice enough to trade you a puppy? A puppy for a skunk? Yeah, he was really nice when he traded iPhones with me. So I feel like I owe it to TJ to trade, and now you can have a puppy and take that home with you, and I'll have a skunk. Well, that sort of makes the point, but let's try one more, all right? Now in my box, I've got sin and guilt, and there's nothing good about that. And TJ has righteousness. And we're going to take it a step farther, and TJ is going to kind of play the part of Jesus in the great exchange, because that's exactly what the Bible says, is that we have nothing to offer God but sin and guilt. Sometimes we start to think that, well, you know, I'm not that bad of a person. I do some nice things, so I probably have a little bit to offer God, even if it's not a whole lot. Maybe my good stuff will outweigh my bad stuff or something like that. But what the Bible says is that all of our righteousness is like filthy rags, and that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. So that all that we have when we come before God is, here, God, here's my sin and my guilt. Isn't that great? No, what it earns for us is death and condemnation and separation from God for all eternity. But there's Jesus, who lived a perfect life. He had perfect righteousness. And what he did at the cross was that he took my sin and my guilt and bore it. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we could become the righteousness of God. So it's not that I'm a righteous person. It's that Jesus was, and he gave me his righteousness, a righteousness that comes from outside of me. That's the great exchange that happened at the cross. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that if we will come to Jesus and give him our lives as Lord and Savior, that we can receive his righteousness, and we can stand before God one day saying, see, God, I can be in your presence now, because I have the righteousness of Jesus. And he took my sin and my guilt, and he did away with them at the cross. Thanks, TJ. Great job. The great exchange, what Jesus did for us when he was on the cross. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. He took our sin on himself. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. There you see that language again, right? In him, in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So the question this morning is, have you made the great, the glorious exchange? Have you become one of Jesus's followers so that you could be united with him? Have you given him your life? There's a great quote that I wanted to share with you this morning from the theologian Martin Luther. Talks about the great exchange, the glorious exchange. Let me read this for you. Is not this a beautiful, glorious exchange? Christ, who is innocent and holy, not only takes upon himself my sin, but also adorns me, who am nothing but sin. Oh, back up one. Wouldn't quite finish there. There we go. Takes upon himself my sin, but also adorns me, who am nothing but sin, with his own innocence and purity. Besides the shameful death of the cross for the sake of my sins, he also gives me his righteousness in order that I may live with him eternally in glorious and unspeakable joy. Only through this glorious exchange, in which Christ changes places with us, are we freed from sin and death and given his righteousness and life as our own. Kind of my experience in churches is that you may have gone to church for a long time and you may have never heard the gospel explained like this. You may have not realized that it wasn't just Jesus dying a painful physical death on the cross. It was actually him bearing the wrath of God for the sins of the world that he was enduring. You think when he cried in the Garden of Gethsemane, you think when he wept and drops of blood were pouring out of his face because he was under so much stress and pressure, he was just scared that it was really going to hurt for nails to go through his arms and his feet. He was terrified of enduring the wrath of God for us. And he lived a perfect life because we've all fallen short. We've all failed to keep God's perfect law. And we needed a righteousness from outside of us if we were ever going to come to know God. This glorious exchange. That's what Jesus wants for all of you. That's what Jesus came to earth for. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, allowing us to take this step of faith in Christ. Some of you have already taken that step. Some of you are already in Christ. Some of you have already had your sins forgiven. And just like the passage says, God was not counting your sins against you because they were taken care of at the cross. You have a chance to be God's ambassador to the world. Some of you this morning, you've never come to know Jesus before. And today can be the day that you do it. Think of the lengths that God went to make sure that you could be reconciled to him. He wants to know you as his very own child, one of his own people. And he would love for that to happen today if it hasn't before. In just a minute, we're going to sing another song and we're all going to worship together with that. But if that's you and you haven't come to know Jesus before, or if you have questions about that, you're like, I don't really understand exactly what that means. We're going to have some counselors in the back of the room who are going to be ready to meet you. If you would like to go and ask them some questions and talk to them or talk with them about what does it mean to come to know Christ and have your sins forgiven and receive his perfect righteousness so that you can be reconciled to God. If you want to know anything about that, if you have even the smallest question, I encourage you while we're standing all singing together, just make your way to the back and allow one of our counselors to find you and talk with you about any questions that you have. But we're going to sing one closing song together. And I want to encourage you to stand with me, that we would all worship our deliverer, our Savior. We're going to sing Hosanna, which is a cry about the deliverance and the salvation that comes in Jesus Christ. Let's worship the holy name of Christ together.